Now, hello, thank you. Can y'all hear me now? All right, there we go. Amen. It's good to see everybody. Amen. Well, it's good. Thank you. It's good to be seen. Amen. Turn over to Isaiah 53, please. We're going to talk a little bit about healing and faith and don't doubt. Amen. Isaiah 53, I told y'all that, right? Excuse me. I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers and to be able to feed our faith, Father God. And Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to unveil and reveal truths to us this evening. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer and bring forth truths this evening that not even myself have seen. And I thank you, Father God, for it. And I believe for it, and I'm putting my faith on it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read, we'll read three scriptures real fast. Then I'll tell you something. Isaiah 53:4, excuse me, 4 and 5, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him," what? Submitting to God, and what? But he was what? Wounded for our transgressions. He was what? Bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of whose peace? Was upon who? Yeah. Amen. You're right. Him. Amen. And with his stripes, what are we? And with his stripes, what are we? Yes, we are. Say, I am healed.
I am healed.
Turn over to Matthew 8, please, 17. Say amen when you get there. Matthew 8, 17, it says, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," what? "Himself took," what? Say, put your name there. "Himself took Ricky's infirmities and bore Ricky's sicknesses." Amen. Amen. Turn over to 1 Peter 2, 24, please. 1 Peter 2, 24. Say amen when you get there. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body," on what? "The tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye," what? "Ye were healed." Ye were healed. That's past tense, correct? So that means we are healed. Correct. I agree. So we are healed right now, correct? We are healed right now, correct? I agree. I fully agree. I'm going to show a video to y'all real fast of Brother Hagin. I know y'all are like, "Well, you show us a lot of videos of him." Well, he's got a lot of excellent stuff.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to say he's a great man, but God on the inside of him. He was a great man, but also knowing how to be led by the Holy Ghost and following God. Amen.
And the whole side of my face had no feeling to it. And I got up and looked in the mirror and smiled when I did this part of my face, took no. When I went to bed that night, I didn't realize, but I shut this eye, but this eye wouldn't close. You ever tried to go to sleep when I open one eye shut? So I reached up there with my finger and pulled that eyelid down, you know, and it just slowly opened back up. So I just rolled over and went back to sleep. I said, "Well, Now, I've been going. I wasn't a member there. I believe at that time I was working in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. But I said, but I went to the Full Gospel Temple and I got every chance I got because they believed in healing. And it strengthened my faith. I said, I'll just go down there Wednesday night to service and get Brother Connor to anoint me with oil. So I went. Well, they had a long service, had some business to tend to. And ordinarily, at Pentecostal, they'd close their meeting out, everybody coming around the altar to pray. But the pastor said, because it's late, just everyone stand and we'll be dismissed. And so we all stood. I'm about halfway back. There's about 400 people present. Because the building was 80 feet long. And it seated 800 comfortably. And I got in late. I'm right on the back. You know, about halfway back, but right on the back of the crowd. And so when he said, this all stand, be dismissed, I lifted him and said, Brother Pastor, I wanted you to pray for my healing before we go. Now, when I said that, it went down over my ear, went around my mouth, went around this way, and this side took no movement at all. And so he said, well, come right on then, and we'll pray. So I marched down to the front. He took a bottle of olive oil off of the pulpit and anointed me with oil.
Pause that real fast.
On my head and prayed. Now, I don't know to this day one single thing.
Just pause it. Yeah, just pause it. I'm going to have you rewind it a couple seconds, just because that's an important part right here, too. But what was the first thing he said whenever he found out his mouth wasn't moving? I'm going to go down to the church, have him lay his hands on me, and I'm going to be healed. Too many times we allow situations or things to sidetrack us, and we get to Googling them, or we try to get a doctor's opinion or somebody else's opinion before we even go to the Word.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And as Christians, I wonder why we do that. Because we've been saturated so much with the outside world that we forgot how to act like a Christian.
Come on.
I didn't know I was going to say that, but it's still good anyways.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, whenever you start getting saturated with the world, you're going to act just like them. So anytime a situation comes up, how do you think you're going to react? Like they do? Amen. Go ahead, please. Oh, snap. It's going to be up at one, yeah, way up there. What happened? Go back quite a bit. Actually, go forward. Watch your time up here on the left. You're at 1 hour 4 minutes. That one in the middle is kind of off. Yeah, see, you're at 106 right now. 107, 108, keep going. All right, it stopped. I don't know what just happened.
I believe that Jesus heals today.
Maybe I shouldn't have paused it. Go, try to get back to about 112. Or one, right there, stop 114. Yeah, let's stop right there.
This side took a little bit of
gold. Yeah, thank you.
And so he said, well, come right on then. And
yeah.
So I marched down to the front. He took a bottle of olive oil off the pulpit and anointed me with oil, laid his hand on my head and prayed.
Listen what he
and
says.
I don't know to this day one single thing he said. I wasn't listening. I'm waiting to hear that word, amen. That's the point where I'm on the least of faith. So when he said amen, I lifted my hand and said, thank God it's gone. See, I'm saying what I believe. Because
yes.
When I said that, this corner of my mouth went all the way around my ear almost. This side still feels dead. But you see, by faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Well, I'm a single young man in those days. And I'd walked to church with a young lady. We were never sweethearts or anything before I got saved. sins.
Yeah, and that's it. If he'd have been, amen, you can pause it. Thank you. And that's it. If he'd have been going by her faith, he'd have never got it. Because she went strictly off of what she seen or what she felt. Whenever you want to interject, you go ahead. The microphone's up here, Miss Stephanie. Whenever you got something, okay? So she strictly went off of what she seen. Didn't she? But yet, he stood his ground and would not allow anything or anybody to move him. And that's where sometimes Christians get messed up. People tell them, well, I don't think you're going to get it. Well, you don't look healed. You don't seem healed. And you're awfully sick. You sound like you're dying. You know, I do feel pretty bad. You know, I really don't feel that good. You know, I've kind of had a headache all day long. Maybe I should go home for a little bit. And we'll talk ourselves right into a bed. And then wonder why, God, well, why am I here? God, what happened? And don't even realize that we allowed somebody talking to get us right into the bed because we sat there and started believing what they said, which is taking precedence over what God said. So that means I got more faith in you than I do God. Because I got way more faith in what you're telling me that I look sick, I sound sick, so I got faith in that. I can believe that. But God says I'm healed. And I'm whole. I don't know about that though. See, we got to. If we're going to be Christians, we might as well be Christians all the way. Amen. I mean, if we're going to do it, don't just talk to talk about it. It's easy always to talk about it when you're around people. It's always fun to not try, but to act it out whenever you're by yourself. Sometimes it'll be challenging, but you just got to stay with it and keep moving. Yes. And that's exactly what he did. Go ahead and grab it. You're fine. And that's exactly what he did. Amen. They said, well, you ain't healed. Well, how do you know? Right. Well, you don't look like it. What does that have to do with anything? Amen. Well, why are we going off of what we off our senses now? Yeah. Since when in the Bible have they ever said, now, if you feel okay, you'll be healed? As soon as you start seeing that you're healed, you'll be healed. As soon as you start feeling like you're healed, you'll be healed. As soon as you start feeling better, you're healed. And too many times we'll allow ourselves to stay in bed because we don't feel good, but yet we're waiting on healing. But the healing's already ours and it belongs to us. We just got to get up and act our faith and not just lay in bed. Amen. Right? So what does that mean? So do stuff you can't do. Amen. Well, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Stop allowing yourself to say, I can't. That shouldn't be in our vocabulary as Christians. Amen. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. It doesn't say a couple things, just a few things. There's going to be some things that's going to hinder you, hold you back a little bit. It said all things. That means if I can just keep going and something's hard, I'll just ask God for wisdom. God, you said I can ask for wisdom. Ask for it liberally by faith, and you'll give it to me. So I just ask you for wisdom on how to deal with this or how to do this right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Amen. And move on. Amen. Go ahead. You got something?
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's exactly the same thing when you're walking out your testimony in front of people. I mean, the people will come and they'll attack you and they'll tell you, they'll make fun of you, they'll poke fun of you. For an example, they're telling dirty jokes at my work and I decided to leave the meeting. And I just decided to leave the meeting because I'm walking a Christian walk. And that's the lifestyle I choose to walk. I've committed my life to God and so that's what I do. And they mock me and they make fun of me when I leave the meeting every time. And it has been about 5 months. And now there's respect when I leave the office, when I walk out of the room. Now there's people who follow me out of the office. It's the same thing with healing, though. It's the exact same thing with healing. It's still ours. You just have to hold on to it. Do I deny I'm a Christian when I'm in the office and they're telling dirty jokes? No. I'm still a Christian when I'm sitting in the office and they're telling dirty jokes. So I'm just going to walk over here and not listen to them. But it's the same thing with your healing. Are you not healed just because you're standing there in the midst of a sickness? No, you absolutely are healed. You just have to walk to the other side into the fullness of it until you see it. Well, not even until you see it. You just have to know that you have it, and you're waiting for your body to walk through it and get through it. But it's just a testimony. It's just a testimony to get you on the other side of healing. Healing is so ours, and you want to be in unity with the Word. right? You want to be in unity with the Word of God. You want to be in unity with the Spirit of God. So when the Word of God says you're healed and you're saying, well, I'm not, I got this and that, now you're in division. You're not in unity with the Spirit of God. But don't you want to be in unity with the Spirit of God? Yeah. Yeah. So the Spirit of God says, well, by my stripes you're healed. And you're like, yeah, but you know, well, no. Now you're in division with the Word of God. So you got to get back in unity with the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, which is the spoken Word of God. So your mouth has to line up with your thinking. And your thinking, when your thinking lines up, it drops into your heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So when this gatekeeper is doing the right thing, it's going to drop into this thing, and then your heart's going to believe it, and then you're going to start speaking it out of your mouth. So it really, you got to get this lined up and get this in front of your eyes. Get this in front of your eyes. So you see this more than you see the sickness that you're looking at. Don't even look at the sickness, to be honest. Don't examine it. Don't Google it. Don't Google it. Don't Google it. Google the Word. I mean, look at the Word. What does the Word say? I believe it's Marilyn Neubauer. She has a book out here that talks about all sorts of illnesses are actually written in the Word of God. Blood diseases and bones and eyes and lungs and everything is in the Word. So find it in the Word and stand on those scriptures. Constantly say them, put them in the front of your eyes so they get into this gatekeeper, is the gatekeeper of your heart. So then your heart becomes full, and then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak the words of faith. They become who you are. They just become a piece of you. You become united with God in John, right? In the book of John, he talks about abide in me, and my word abide in you, and ask what you will, and you will have what you will say, right? And all that, you've got to abide in the Word. You have to abide in Christ. So you guys become like this. So there's no division. So you're abiding with Him, and where righteous is, no, nothing can dwell. No unrighteousness can dwell where righteousness dwells. I'm telling you, He's rejecting it right now. And I remember I was preaching this the other day, and this just rose up in my heart. And I'm telling you, the blood covers it all. The blood of Jesus Christ covers everything. I was thinking about the blood of Jesus the other day, and I was walking through my living room, and I'm talking about the blood, and I'm talking about Moses. And I remember Moses, and when I can't even remember the name that came against Korah. When Korah came against Moses, one of my most favorite stories, not because of Korah, but because of Moses' heart towards interceding for his people. I love Moses. But so finally, he's praying for Korah. Korah's coming against God. So when you're saying you're not sick, you're coming against the Word of God, okay? When you're saying you're not healed, when you're saying you're sick, you're literally coming against God. So when Korah comes against Moses, they're literally coming against God. So then Moses, finally, after praying, and God says, stop praying, this is it, they're done, it's over, draw a line. And Moses drew a line in the sand, and he says, everybody who's going to be with God, get on this side, and everybody who's going to be with doubt and unbelief and sickness and disease and sin, get on that side of the line, right? That blood is the bloodline. It's the bloodline of Jesus. And when something crosses that bloodline, it is an enemy, it is a foreigner, and it is, what's the word I'm looking for? He is trespassing. The devil is trespassing against the bloodline to come into your territory where divine healing dwells. Everywhere your foot treads, you own. It's yours. And so everywhere you go, healing follows you. Everywhere you go, prosperity follows you. Everywhere you go, goodness and mercy and faith and everything follows you that God provided for you. It's all yours. So stay on this side of the bloodline, and when he comes attacking you, say, no, 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 you're an enemy. You can't be here. And I remember telling cancer, pay attention to me. Listen up. Talk to those things. You tell those things. Jesus talked to the tree and he cursed the tree and it died. So I started telling cancer, yo, cancer, hello, listen to me. You pay attention to me. You now dry up and die, and you no longer bear fruit in my family in the name of Jesus Christ. You do not, period. I don't care. You do not bear fruit in my family. I didn't even tell it could go back to the dry place. I said, it's done. It's done. It's done. Everything is done. Asthma, pay attention. Pay attention. You cannot cross this bloodline. You die in the name of Jesus Christ. You die. You cannot be in the presence of righteousness. You cannot. It is about the blood, and he paid for it. And we need to walk in it to honor him. It honors him. It gives him glory when we walk in the things that he paid for. It blesses his heart to see us blessed. So he's not withholding anything from us. Never will he withhold anything from us. Do you want me to go? Keep going. Yes, sir.
Turn over real fast. Let's go over to Mark 5 real fast, please. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You should be getting something. Amen. Real fast, stop by Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us. This doesn't say let your neighbor. Let your wife. Let God. Who's it talking to? Say me. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of what?
Our faith.
Without doing what?
Wavering.
Amen. Without wavering. So what was Brother Hagin doing while he was walking along? Had so many opportunities because everybody and their mama wanted to tell him, you are not healed.
Right.
You're not healed. You're not healed. Look at you. You're not healed. See, trying to get his eyes off of the word, off of, because he said, I didn't even pay attention to what the pastor prayed. We need to listen to that. He said, I didn't even pay attention to that. He said, because I was waiting for him to say what?
Amen.
So I was waiting for him to say amen so he could do what? See, you need to find a point to be able to release your faith. Too many times we're hanging on to our faith, talking about we got so much faith, that's good, but have we released any of it yet?
Yeah.
And how do we release our faith? Right here is one way. The confession, by speaking it, saying it. And he said, I release my faith. How did he release it? What did he say? He said he threw his hands up and what?
Thank God I'm healed.
So did he release his faith?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
Did he look healed?
No.
Was he healed?
Yes.
Yes, he was. He exactly was, regardless of what he looked like.
That's right.
Regardless of what the situation looked like, he was healed. He didn't take into account that his face didn't look any different. He said, this doesn't change the fact that I'm healed. You're not listening to anything that the pastor's been talking about. See, as soon as he said amen, I said, it's mine, I have it now. That's when I was healed. See, you're looking at me saying you're not healed, but I said, it's mine, that's mine, I have it now. See, that's when I released my faith, and that's when the healing begun to work inside my body. And regardless of you saying, well, you're not healed, look at your face. That's got nothing to do with it. Healing's mine, and it belongs to me. And he understood that, and so every step he took, they were saying, it's not yours. He's saying, it's mine. Hallelujah, I'm healed. I am the healed walking down the streets. I am the healed going to bed at night. That's what he was saying. Every time they'd say, you're not healed, look at you. I am the healed. You forgot whenever he said amen, I said, that's mine. I have it now. He released his faith. We can't hang on to our faith. We need to release it, right? Mark 5 real fast, please. Mark 5, verse 23. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Mark 5, 23, it says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
Talking about Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. And besought him, Jairus besought Jesus greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay hands on her, that she... Listen, that she may be healed, and she what?
Shall live.
See, he released his faith,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yes.
It looks exactly like he released it because he says, come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.
Yes.
Now, look at verse 35. Verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, talking about Jesus, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is what?
Dead.
Why troublest the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, y'all remember when we looked that up?
Yeah.
Y'all remember the three words associated with heard right there? Refuse, rejected, and not accepted.
Yes.
Refused, rejected, and not accepted. Refused, rejected, and not accepted. Sounds exactly like what Brother Hagin was doing.
Yes.
Because he refused to listen to what they were telling him. He rejected to accept any of the doubt that they were spewing from their mouth. And he didn't accept any of it except, I am healed. He spoke, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe.
Yes.
That's right?
Yes.
Amen. Why did he say that? Because Sunday, if you wasn't here Sunday, you need to get that.
Yes.
Talking about fear.
Yes.
That was excellent teaching.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But fear obviously accompanies along with it brings a doubt and unbelief, right?
Yes.
And Jesus knows that he already spoke the word of faith, the command of faith.
Yes.
He released his faith,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And so he wasn't wanting to allow 1 second to go for him to be able to get his mouth on something negative,
yes.
Contrary to what he's already said.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's why Jesus told him, said, look, be not afraid, only believe, right?
Yeah.
And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, John, and Brother James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he had come in, he said to them, why make ye this abode and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they what?
Laughed
him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel and them that were with him and entered into the damsel was where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha, with that word which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, what?
Arise.
Go back to verse 25, please. Arise. Not 25, 23. 23, yes. Sorry. See, y'all remember that last word in that last one? Arise. And that she may live.
Yes. Amen.
See, the command of faith was spoken.
Yes.
He released his faith in, look, my daughter will live.
Yes.
And so what happened? Regardless of all the negative, all the doubt and unbelief that was bombarding him. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Amen. So we have the boy that was healed. And so it's in Mark 9, verse 14. And it says, When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. So right away, the people are disputing with the disciples. They're arguing. People are going to argue with you that you cannot be healed. People are going to argue with you when you're in the community laying hands on the sick. The people are going to come and say, you can't do this. They're going to argue with you. And that's what they do. Jesus wasn't there. This is when he was on the Mountain of Transfiguration. This is the time that he's up there with Peter and John. And they're coming back down, and they're coming to the disciples. And the disciples are already have this crowd going around them, right? And so the people are arguing, verse 14, and when he, Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Scribes were disputing. The religious leaders, the religious rulers of that time, they were arguing with the disciples. Immediately when they saw Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Jesus wanted to know, what are you talking about with my disciples? What are you doing with my disciples? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes at the teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So people, knowing that you're gods, knowing that that's who you belong to, when you start walking out these things of faith, people will come to you. They will have expectations. You have to build yourself up not only for your sake, but for the sake of the people who are coming to you that you can pray for, that they can be delivered and set free just like you've been delivered and set free, right? So he said to them, O faithless generation, the disciples couldn't do it. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. So then they brought the boy to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. I'm telling you, diseases are going to argue with you. They're going to argue with you. They're going to put up a fight. Demonic influence will also put up a fight, but so will cancer. It's going to argue with you, right? It's going to fight you back, right? And so it's going to convulse you. It's going to get you to doubt. It's going to get you to unbelief. That's the whole goal of what Satan wants to do. He wants you to doubt that you're healed. He wants you not to believe that God is for you, or that he is going to even heal you, or that he ever did heal you. He wants you to think that God is just not, didn't do anything for you, or you've done something, right? So therefore God's not going to heal you. So these things will come at you, these arguments and things like that. So immediately, verse 21, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? So Jesus didn't freak out, right? He didn't freak out that it was acting up in front of him. He didn't make him nervous. He was like, okay, I need more wisdom. Tell me what? And so if you need to ask questions before you're praying for somebody, ask questions, right? Well, then tell me what? How long you been dealing with this? Oh, generational? God takes away generational curses. There's no such thing, right? In the name of Jesus, right? Glory to God. And he said, from a childhood, and as often as it throws him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. So he says this, and then this will trip you up, because you can come down here in verse 28, but let's just clarify this. Verse 28, it says, and we had come to the house, somewhere it says this comes out only by fasting and prayer. My apologies, I skipped too soon. Verse 25? Thank you. Verse 29. So he said to them, this kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So you know what that means? That doesn't mean that because I pray anymore or because I fast anymore, the power of God is any greater. The power of God is as great as it is. It's not going to get any greater. It's not going to get any less. It is the power of God, and it is present always for healing. Even when Jesus went in and they lowered the body down, the group of friends lowered the body down, it says that the presence of God, the power of God to heal was present. That means anybody in that room could have had access to it. And let me tell you something, if you have God dwelling on the inside of you, the presence to heal is continually dwelling within you. Continually dwells within you. It never leaves you. It never forsakes you. It is continually with you. So what this means is what Pastor Ricky was talking about when it says it comes out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He's talking about having a confession. He's talking about living the word. Yes. Living the word in your life. Having a profession of faith. A life of faith. A lifestyle of activating your faith. Yes. You have to begin to activate your faith. You have to believe it. You have to walk it. And then when all those things rise up to come against it, to tell you, to get you off of it, you have to say, no, I'm still here. Yes. I am still here. I'm not being moved. You're not going to sway me. You're not going to persuade me. I'm not going to be tossed about to and fro by every little thing that comes across Google or Facebook that says I have this or says I have that affliction. Do not be moved. Do not be moved, but stand. Stand like he says, stand and activate your faith and walk in it and live it.
Amen.
Oh, you have a mic.
Romans 4. We'll start verse 17. I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion and then probably the Amplified Classic. The Passion says, that's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our example and father of many nations. He is our example and father, for in God's presence, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being what? I actually believe it's the scripture that Miss Stephanie was talking about a while ago, John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The word will is the strongest assertion, you know, in the English language. But in the literal Greek, it says, whatever you ask in my name, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. If I don't have it, I'll make it for you. He is our example and father, for in God's presence, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that, what? Next, please. Against all odds. See, everything in the world says no. You can't do it. You're going to die. You're going to die broke. You can't afford anything. You're living on borrowed time. You're beat up. Well, you know, once you hit this age, all this stuff just starts declining in your body. That's what they tell you. It's exactly what they tell you. And I haven't received any of that. I haven't. I'm serious. Especially when I started hearing them say, well, once you hit 40, you know, everything just starts going. Well, it can start going for you. Because for me, I'm going to live in divine health and everything's going to operate how God designed it to operate in my body. Amen. Against all odds. Say all odds. We should write that down. And really just have that up somewhere in our house. Against all odds. And every time we feel like we're just going against the grain, like, man, can it get any worse? We just look up and see in our house against all odds. All right, Abraham, if you can do it, thank God I can too. Because God's not a respecter of persons. He's not. And if you can get it, I can get it. Amen. When it looked hopeless. But you don't understand what I'm going through. Maybe I don't, but you don't understand what I went through.
Yeah. Amen.
So everybody's got their own story. We can either talk about it to each other and just whine, or we can go, hey, against all odds. Against all odds. When everything looked hopeless. When it looked like they said there's no way. When it looked like they said it's impossible. when it looked like they said you can't afford that new house.
Yeah.
Amen. Say, put your name there. Ricky believed the promise and expected the bank to fulfill it. Expected the doctors to fulfill it. Who do you expect? See, when you're spectator, you got me on that word. Expectancy is on man. You're going to fail every time.
Yes. That's good. Come on now.
Every time. But when it stays on God to fulfill it, God,
yes.
You said it.
Yes.
I didn't say it. You said it. You said, by your stripes, I'm healed. Then I'm healed.
Yes.
So this sickness has to leave my body.
Yes.
And you just walk it out.
Yes.
God, you said, I can have the desires of my heart. So that new house or new vehicle belongs to me. God, you said I don't have to live in lack. You said I'm the head and not the tail. You said that I'm the lender and not the borrower. Amen. So what are we telling them? What are we saying? You know, because against all odds, against all odds, everything in the world, even in his body, said, you can't do it. You can't. You're too old. You're too old. It's impossible. You're too old and ugly. You're too old, ugly, and your mama dresses you funny. But against all odds, when it looked what? You got something? Oh, go ahead. Let me drink some water for a minute, please.
This is a word right here. This is a word right here. This is such a word right here. Against all odds, when it looks hopeless. We always get there, don't we? There is always a point. I'm not going to deny there's always a point. I mean, there's been multiple times I've been on my knees on the floor for months, you know, going, I don't know, God. I don't know what I did. I don't know, but I trust you. I mean, you're in hopeless. I'm against all odds. And it looked hopeless. But yet, I believed the promises of God, and I expected him. I didn't even realize I was doing that until right this minute. I realized that's what I was doing. I believed the promises of God, and I expected him to fulfill it. I expected him to put me in a place. I expected him to put me in some type of a position that I was in expectations for. But it's the same thing with healing. Against all odds, when it looks hopeless, when you're the one sitting in the hospital, when you're the one tied up to the chemo machine, when you're the one getting the dialysis, when it looks hopeless, believe. Put your name there. Put your name there. Man, when you said Ricky believed, I thought, that's it. That's it. Stephanie believed the promises and expected God to fulfill it. Expect God to fulfill it. Not you. Not you. Not your diligence in reading the Bible every day. That it's not religious. It's not religion. You can't make it work for you. You have to trust God to fulfill it for you. To fulfill it for you. You can't. I'm not receiving. I must be in unforgiveness. Oh, yeah, I remember that hurt a long time ago. Oh, yeah, it's still there. That must be it. That must be it. That's not it. It's not you. The grace of God covers it all. If you can't call on anything, you call on the grace. God, I need your grace. I don't even understand why I'm not being healed. Okay, I've asked for wisdom. If I need to change my diet, because he'll give you wisdom. You know, and he does expect you to follow it when he tells you to do something. He does expect you to do it. But if you're not receiving and you've gone around the gamut, I mean, you just run around. I don't know. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried this. I've tried that. Ask God for wisdom. He tells you nothing. I stand in the grace. Then I expect your grace to be in the gap for me in the name of Jesus Christ. And I fully believe that I still will receive the expected end I fully believe, because if he's not correcting you, if he's not telling you how to fix it or something that you need to do because you messed up, then it's by the grace of God. Then you say, God, we're in a battle. I'm in a battle, and I'm in a battle with you, and I'm in a battle for the word, and I'm in a battle for my healing. But against all odds, even though it looks hopeless, God, I, Stephanie, I'm going to believe the promises, and I expect you to fulfill it. I expect you to fulfill it. What is the word says? That his eyes go to and fro across the earth, looking for somebody that he can show himself strong to, right? So expect him to show himself strong to you. He wants to. So now expect it. Take it off your own shoulders and put it on his shoulders. Amen.
You got to carry it. You ain't got to try to figure it out. It's not our job to figure it out. Amen. It's our job to believe God and take him at his word. That's our job. Amen. Because read the next part. What did he do? He took God at his word. 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 Look, sometimes healing is progressive. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's progressive. I don't know why. I'm not God. I know we walk things out sometimes. Just like in everything, we walk it out. So walk it out. Just one step in front of another. Don't overthink it. That's the thing. Don't overthink it and think you done something crazy or done something wrong. Because as soon as they say amen, then what? It belongs to me, right? Then you walk it out. You just want one foot in front of the other. It's mine. It belongs to me. Well, I've been believing for 2 years. Okay, join the crowd. When's the last time I had knee surgery? When was that? 3 or 4 years ago. I just ran for the first time the other day. And I absolutely love running. I do. And I even told God, I was like, God, I love running. Well, they told me I couldn't run anymore because it was like my fourth or whatever knee surgery. And so they pretty much took all the cartilage and everything out of my knee. And so they're like, it's bone on bone. You can't do nothing anymore. And I didn't take none of what he said.
That's right. Against all odds.
I don't agree to it. Yeah, against all odds.
Against
all odds.
Come on.
And so I've been believing for a few years. So what did you do? As soon as I prayed, the first time said amen, I said it's mine and it belongs to me.
Yes.
Every time I'd try to run and it hurt, I'd stop. Why? Because I'd almost fall down. Yeah. And so I knew, don't run right now.
There you go.
So I'd do something else.
There you go.
Yes. Amen. But now I've been running for a couple weeks.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God. It took a little bit. I don't know why. Either my faith just wasn't built up to the level yet or whatever. All I know is as soon as you say amen, that's it.
Right.
And don't allow anybody or anything to talk you out of it. Because
right.
The doctor could have talked me right out of it and talked me right into getting a knee replacement.
Amen.
He could have. Because he is talking about it and he had them right there on his desk. He said, everything's gone out of your knee. You better stop doing everything because we're going to have to do knee replacements and all this here pretty quick. I said, well, you can keep them. They don't belong to me and I don't want them.
Right.
If it wasn't in my body whenever I was born, I don't need it. I'm good.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God is the miracle working God.
Right.
And I know if I believe him, and against all odds, I know if I stay with it, if I just stay in faith against all odds, I know I will see the fulfillment of it. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She said she had to call out every time she walked around, unclean, unclean. But she didn't allow herself to say it the last time that she saw Jesus, did she? She wouldn't let those words come out of her mouth, would she? She didn't say unclean when she came out. She said, if I touch his garment, I'm healed. That's what was coming out of her mouth. If I touch his garments, I'm healed. If I can just touch his garments, I'm healed. That's exactly what she said. Not I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Saying I'm diseased. I'm sick. I'm not well. Don't come around me. I'm poisonous. Amen. And regardless of what this thing Okay, I'll tell you. Regardless of this virus that they're saying that's trying to come back, don't allow it to affect you or affect your faith or allow it anywhere inside of you, your house, or your kids, or your family. You need to take authority over it immediately. And don't be afraid of it. If somebody calls you and says, hey, I just need to call you because I was affected and I just tested positive, don't allow fear to affect you right then. Do not allow fear to come in, because that's a doorway. That's a foothold. Don't allow it. Say, look, I was healed then, I'm healed now. Just because you was affected doesn't change the fact that it belongs to me. Regardless if Satan tries to put, because he'll test you, he'll be like, well, here's a little bit of a fever. We'll see if you believe it. And then if we go, man, I kind of do have a fever, and that's one of those symptoms. Hook, line, and sinker. But if we go, that does not belong to me. You have to go back to your father, Satan, because number one, I'm a child of God. I am the healed. Not trying to get healed. I am the healed, walking in divine health. And that's exactly how we need to handle it. Not only that, any kind of sickness or disease trying to put itself on us. Any kind. I am the healed. Doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to me. It's not part of me. It's not part of my makeup. I got the divine blood of Jesus running through my veins. Amen. I'll finish this one. It's 8:20. I didn't realize it's that late. There's a clock. Did you have something real fast?
Just what you had said about that. No, it's just a sec. Okay.
It's just a second. Go ahead.
But when Pastor Ricky said in John, when it says, if you ask what you will, and it will be made for you, but if it's not, doesn't exist, then I'll make it. Yes. Is that how it says? Your knee. Hello? I mean, I'm like, that's his knee. Because it wasn't there. He doesn't, bone on bones, but he needed something to be put in there, whatever it's called. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But anyway, cartilage. Okay. So it wasn't there. So God had to get it there. He had to make it and make it exist and implant it in his knee and get it there. God is a miracle-working God. He really is. And he really is for you. He really is for you. And sometimes we can just beat ourselves up and think that we've done something. And sure, we can do stuff and open the door to the enemy and give him a foothold in our lives. But still, the grace of God is even bigger than that. And again, there's just always that repentance. There's always that, because what he'll do is if you don't repent, there can be no forgiveness. So there always has to be a repentance. And if you messed up, then make up. Right? You just tell the Lord, okay, God, I messed up, and I repent, and I'm sorry. And it's really that simple. It really is. But the enemy tells you it's not, because he likes to keep you down. He likes to wear us out, and he tells you how awful you are, and he reminds you over and over of the thing you did. So I got to a place where he was constantly telling me something, and I was like, I repented over that, you know, and then he'd tell me again. Finally, I turned around, and I said, you are a liar. I don't even know what you're talking about. It's gone. God doesn't even know what you're talking about. God, do you know what he's talking about? And God's like, no idea. And I'm like, I'm clean. Go. I mean, you just got to make up your mind that you just don't need to listen to him. And if you repent, it's gone. It's gone. Don't let him dig up dirt on you. Don't go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. Don't go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness and pulling your junk back out. Let it stay there. And when the enemy tells you, you might have a memory of it or something, you can say, nah, it's gone. It's in that sea of forgetfulness. And I'm clean and I'm clear. And you have no hold on me in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
About a week, and I've done everything that I could think of. You know, I'm praying, yeah, to that, but I mean, I would wear the little pad for my arch and, you know, stuff like that, and I would go around barefooted. So when I first started getting soreness, I thought it was a bruise on my heel, and it got worse and worse, and I'd get out of bed, and I couldn't even stand up. It would hurt so bad, and now it's gone. Just sitting here and reading the Word. Amen. And believing the Word and working the Word. Hallelujah. You got to work that Word. Amen.
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 Well, everybody stand up and thank God with her. Hallelujah.
thank you, Father God, a healing, working, miracle, working God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you.
Thank you.
You
want to
close?
Hallelujah. Let's give him a shout of praise. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your authority that we have here on earth to put sickness and disease under our feet in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your healing anointing. Hallelujah. That has been preached out of this place. That it will produce. Hallelujah. That it will fulfill in the name of Jesus. That it will do everything that your word sent it to do. And hallelujah, glory to God. Get something in your heart right now, something that is affecting you, something that is affecting somebody else, but we're going to put it under the blood. And when I say the words amen, glory to God, we're going to release our faith. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, and we are expecting right now. Hallelujah, glory to God. Holy Spirit, bring up to our remembrance something that we can grab right now and take it out of Satan's hands and put it under our feet and put it under the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you have that. I hope you have it. Glory to God, because we're going to release our faith. Hallelujah, we're going to release our faith. Glory to God, hallelujah. Whatever you are believing for. Pastor just said, whatever you are believing for. Hallelujah. We are going to see miracles. We're going to see deliverance. We're going to see freedom. Hallelujah. In that area, we're going to see healings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father God, glory to God. We thank you right now. We thank you right now. And we declare in the name of Jesus that we are free, that we have healing, that we were healed by the stripes on Jesus' back. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we say amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So be it. I am healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'd even write down the time. It's 8:25. Is 8:25 on August the 4th at 8:25 is when I received it. I'd write it down. Amen. Go ahead with your testimony.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to tell you guys something. Remember Dr. Ricky and Sally? I know you do. You can't forget them. So I used to work out heavy. I tore my arms up real bad in the shoulders. And, I wanted Pastor Dr. Ricky to lay hands on me because I just, God was just like, go up there, man, go up there. So I went up there, and when he laid hands on me, because I believed it beforehand, and I'm not kidding, I couldn't do a push-up, I couldn't arm wrestle him right now. I could now, but I couldn't, and it was bone on bone. You can ask my wife. I complained about it every night. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't even sleep at night. All night long. So then, after I got healed of the shoulder, I was pretty stoked on it. So I was telling my friends, you need to come to the service when they come back. Because if you got some problems, you should be there. However, I heard from our pastor, you should pray what you want before they get here. And thank God before you get here that you're already healed. So I did that for a week and said, hey, God, I'm just asking that when Dr. Ricky puts his hands on me and prays for my thumb this time, that I'm healed and done. Okay, well, the service came. I didn't come up because he didn't call. And I was kind of like, it was just kind of, that's the way it was. Well, he got all the way over in that room over there. I'm like, I'm not going for this. I chased him down. I said, you got to lay hands on my hand and heal my thumb because my thumb don't work. It didn't. Amen. It didn't. Amen. It didn't. And I'm not even kidding. I mean, I couldn't even use my hand at work. Amen. And you know about holding the drumstick? I told you beforehand. So it's not a lie. So God healed my hand, my thumb, my shoulder, because I believe in it. If you don't believe, you won't receive. Speak what you want, not what you don't want.
Glory to God. Let's give him another shout. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Woo. Amen. And we have it now. Amen. Glory to God. So when someone tries to talk you out of it, just say, no, I'm healed because the Word of God says so. We're healed because the Word of God says so. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, Jesus,